You are listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, episode 26 for November 2009.
It fell a thousand years ago, green fire, so hot. A carving and a man and a superman, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his ring from Alvin Sore. He fought all the evil hordes, and he's the real one, Hal Jordan. Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. The Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast is sponsored by the Green Lantern Corps, where you can find the latest Green Lantern news and talk about it on their forums. Check it out, www.thegreenlanterncorps.com, and tell them the Spotlight sent you. I'm your host, Ryan Reed, creator and webmaster of the Green Lantern Spotlight. And guys, this is it. It's my last week of being a bachelor. I'm done. So, in doing so, since the guys all missed my bachelor party last night, we're going to have our own little kind of a podcast bachelor party here before I take a little sabbatical, because I'm taking time off here just to focus on my my new marriage and some health issues, which have gotten severely, you know, a lot better, I should say. They've taken a huge, wonderful upturn here in the last couple months. So just scaling back for a little while, and I hope to be back in a few months here. But, you know, I'll still show up here on occasion for special interviews. I mean, if we ever get Jeff Johns or a couple other people, or Peter Tomasi on here, I'm willing to jump on, no problem. So we'll do that. So in the meantime, let's introduce my bachelor crew. Of course, he's too young to drink, but he's always found on the Real View Mirror podcast. Kuan, how you doing, Kuan?
Can I just be the first to say, lamest bachelor party ever?
Of course, the man who's tired and can travel from Connecticut back to his hometown in less than 24 hours. Of course, Rainer 2814. How are you doing, Ray?
Woo! Party!
See, there we go. It's not so lame anymore, Kuan.
Party in the USA.
Of course, the man who's also recovering from many, many sicknesses. Luckily, it's not a hangover. Of course, Mew Zard. How are you doing, Mew?
Making it day by day.
All right. And, of course, the lazy master himself and co-creator of the Speedster site, W. West. How you doing, West?
Being lazy.
Exactly. And, of course, the other man fighting a cold. And, of course, we would not be possible without him, the one, the only, Andrew NDB. How you doing, Andrew?
Hey, what's up? Keeping it real.
All right, on a low monotone right here. So, well, we're going to do a little thing different here since this is a special podcast and before I disappear for a little while. So we're going to answer questions from you, the listeners, the viewers, the podcast people, love, hate them, whatever. And then we'll just do a couple of shot rounds here about what's coming, what we think might come up here for Blackest Night. So we'll start with our questions here. So first question of business, why the hell are you leaving? Well, I kind of answered this earlier right at the beginning of the podcast. Well, like I said, it's just to take some time out. I've been very busy here, getting ready to get married, and my health took some very bad downward turns back in June. So I'm just doing it to scale back, get myself centered, build up everything here, my upcoming new wife here, and then we're just going to go from there. So that's why. What inspired you to do the podcast? Well, believe it or not, that's an interesting story. I was a frequent listener of the Spider-Man Crawl Space podcast, and I guest starred a couple of times there, helping the guys with some call-in questions, and I was on a little bit for one show, and then Will Sanchez of the Avengers Assemble podcast invited me over to do a couple. So I said, you know, I think I can do. I'm sure I can do this myself, so I put a call out to the Green Lantern Corps forums. I'd been a member for a few months, and all these guys just responded, and it just kind of came together. The first people who responded were Weston Kuan here, and Kuan was kind of our original recorder and everything, and he just came in, did real well, and then I got the rest of the equipment, and then Musard came in, Andrew joined us, and Ray then joined us, and well, that's how we have it.
Woo!
Exactly. All right. Kuan, why don't you shoot the next question to me?
All right, the next question. Is Knuckles your favorite listener?
Yes, he is.
Is he?
He is. Well, I don't know. He's always listening. He's always posting good stuff. He's sending email to me. He has very little bad say. He always points out little things he loves about the podcast, even Kuan. And, yeah, he tends to be our favorite listener. I think our second person, of course, is Bob spelled backwards. He's joined us on a few podcasts. Bob's a great listener, very friendly and wonderful guy. So we're always wonderful to have him on.
My favorite listener is any listener who actually subscribes via iTunes or Zoom. Those are my favorite. Anybody else can go fuck themselves.
Zoom. So, Wes, what you're saying is you hate Mew almost as much as Naysay does?
You don't subscribe to us, Mew?
I don't use iTunes.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, I'm taking them with me when I leave the podcast at the end of the day.
Yep.
What about you, Andrew? Who's your favorite listener?
Anybody and everybody that listens. That's my favorite listener.
All right. What about you, Mew?
God, you said
everyone but Naysay. He can go fuck himself.
And how about you, Ray? And I know Kulan's going to say the exact same thing.
I like everybody who doesn't own a Zune.
Yes.
Well, that's almost the entire population.
I'll go sign for that.
Just saying, if you're listening to us on a Zune, seriously, a Zune.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought they discontinued that shit.
I thought they did too.
Hey, man, you got your new Zune HD. You
gotta get and then you can listen to the re-recording of Heroes on Monday nights. Okay, Ray, what about you? What's the next question for us?
Oh, next question. I'll read it exactly the way it's written. What was your guy's favorite podcast to record?
Oh, that's a hard one. I'm going to say Bo Smith. Bo was just fabulous.
That was a good one.
I totally agree with Bo Smith.
And we got stuff from that gas.
Yeah, Bo's officially like the best one. I'm sorry, Ron. I'm sorry, Philip. But yeah, Bo's kind of taking us.
Remember, if you want us to like you, evidently all you have to do is send us free stuff.
We're so many good ones.
I mean, the Ethan one was great fun, and then there was the Ron and Daryl.
Ron and Daryl was great.
Ron and Dale reunion was awesome. Between those three, certainly.
Yeah, Philip definitely gets honored mention because every time we talked to Philip, the two guys, that was just fun.
Philip was a blast.
I like the first Ron one because that was our first interview. It was huge, yeah. Man. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I was you know, had butterflies in my stomach that night.
Oh, okay. I also like
every 2 seconds.
I also like the Bedard one that I hosted. It's my first and only hosting job.
That was a good. Yeah, that went very well. I thought you did a great job on that, Mew.
I don't think. Were you even looking at the questions, or are you like just looking?
I'm right now looking at the questions.
Shut the hell up. Besides Jeff Johns, what interview would you like to do?
In an AOL chat room.
Boy, that's a good question. The person I would really, honestly, this is true. Is I would love to have Grant Morrison on here.
I've got the perfect answer. Raker 616.
Oh, there you go.
that is the perfect answer.
That is a great answer. What about you, Ray?
I would love to have Graham Morrison on. He's one of my all-time favorites.
How about you, Mew?
Grant Morrison.
I think Wes has the answer. What about you, Andrew?
If not Jeff Johns, Peter Tomasi. I think.
Oh, that'd be great.
I thought we were almost guaranteed with that one.
You know what I want to talk to?
Grant Morrison would be cool, but he hasn't done a lot of Green Lantern-centric material.
He's the reason we have the Alpha Lanterns.
Yeah, the Alpha Lanterns.
Old to a very small degree. I mean, Jeff.
You know. All right.
Remember, he called Grant, Jeff up and was like, hey, could you write this for me, man? And
my first choice.
Who would be your first choice, Wes?
I'd probably
You call yourself a Grant Morrison fan.
I would love to talk to Dan.
I think having Dan DeDio would be great, especially with Outsiders. And since we've had Philip on, that would be great. Okay, Andrew, you do the next question.
How did you pick the podcast members?
Ooh, I can answer this one.
Go ahead.
All right. So there was this thread on the forum saying, "Hey, who wants to be on a podcast?" And then people posted, and he added us to a group. And that's how I picked the podcast members.
That's really how it was. It was that simple. And then all of a sudden I had a flood of people asking me to be part of it.
and then the first post was like, hey, who knows how to do the technical know-how to do this thing? And so I did. And I'm like, hey. And so did Caleb, but Caleb never showed up.
Yeah, we never did get Caleb.
And I'm like, hey, I can do stuff. And then I taught you how to do stuff, so I didn't have to do stuff.
Yep, and I learned from the semi-master over here. The senpai learned from the semi. Anyhow. Okay.
I don't know how I got on. I just showed up one day.
Yeah, that's really what happened. Oh, well.
One day you showed up outside Andrew's house, sure. Like, dude, I want to be on a podcast.
You was campaigning, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was campaigning. I finally said, yeah, let's put him.
I'll be there.
I made one comment that I really said, can I come on sometime?
I'm still here.
In case you need anybody.
Just in case, really.
In case you need an extra person, I'm available.
Right, exactly.
I was very passive-aggressive.
All right.
2 a.m., I am so available.
Oh, that's pretty much how it went down.
Some blood ritual sacrifice, newborn baby, all that, and I was on.
It was very interesting. So I'll just do the next question. What was the first comic you read? Oh, I don't remember the exact number, but the first comic I ever read was an Amazing Spider-Man, and it had my favorite all-time Spider-Man villain. This is actually what made him my favorite villain, was Mysterio. And so since then, I've just been in the comics. And I know there's another question asking what was my first Green Lantern book. I don't remember the issue. I just remember Green Lantern was fighting Black Hand. So look right there, folks. It was all a prelude to Blackest Night right there. Hal Jordan fighting Black Hand. I don't remember what it was. It was in the very early 80s. So, Ray, what about you? What was your first one?
My first comic? My first Green Lantern comic?
Both.
All right, my first comic? I have no fucking idea. Sorry. It might have been a Spider-Man for like when the Sinister Six first reappeared. It could have been a Batman. But I know, and I cannot possibly remember what the hell I was reading when I was like six.
Why?
First Green Lantern issue was a Green Lantern 76 though. Volume 3 of 76. Hard Traveling Heroes when he first teamed up with Connor High.
Oh wow! So yeah, I remember that issue. What about you, Mew? What was your first?
Well, my first actual issue, I think, was it was a random Action Comics issue followed shortly by me starting to collect the old Justice League Unlimited comic.
Oh yes.
Back when that series was starting in, and then almost immediately after that, I tried and failed to get the Space Ghost Mini. I ended up getting that traded, and then I got a Green Lantern Rebirth. And that's where I started.
All right, what about you?
5 years ago.
What about you, West?
I'm pretty sure my first comic was Flash 106.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but what it was about, but I'm pretty sure that was it. Sometime in the 90s. About Green Lantern, I think I started with issue 10 or something like that, but I had a couple of Kyle's issues, just never got into the series.
Andrew, what about you? What was your first comic book or Green Lantern?
I'm pretty sure it was the Death in the Family, Batman and Death in the Family trade paperback my dad gave to me, but it could have been that, or it would have been RoboCop number 1 for Marvel, or it could have been issue 6 of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures from Archie.
Oh, wow.
One of those.
Wow.
Or maybe it was some Fat Freddy's Cat or the Freak Brothers. Maybe even Cherry Pop-Tart. I mean, there was a lot of weird stuff I was being handed as a kid.
And Andrew, what was your first Green Lantern book you ever read?
My first Green Lantern comic? I think that was Green Lantern Volume 3, number 50, or Green Lantern Volume 3, number 49. Although I'm pretty sure I bought them together. And then later on I went back and bought 48 for like, I don't know, $30 at a comic store. And kept on collecting from there.
Well, what about you, Kuan? What was your first comic in Green Lantern comic?
The first Green Lantern comic I ever read. The first Green Lantern comic I read, I think, was Rebirth. It for Green Lantern. The first comic I ever read, I don't actually remember. I know the first comic I ever bought was a Teen Titans issue, like at the end of the Titans East storyline or something, that I got from like Borders one day.
Ah, Borders. And
I know the first Green Lantern related issue that I bought was the Sinestro Corps War. I remember the first comic I ever read.
Let's see. Our next question is, do you think the sectors should be portrayed all as wedgies, all centered on Oa, or as a grid where sectors like 3599 are actually further away from Oa than other sectors?
I think those meant to be wedges.
Which is funny because it was Naysay.
Oh, so it was wedgies.
And he kept saying that Mew needed a wedgie, so I'm like, wait, is he talking about wedgies or...
Yeah, that's why...
Subliminal.
Yeah, that's why I said wedgie. I personally like the fact that the wedges point towards Oa, because, you know, everything points to every sector in the center of the universe, so I'm fine with it. I've never really had a problem, because when I was a sector of space, I was like, oh, I just thought of, like, borders, like states or anything, so yeah, they point as triangles. That's just the modern version of it. Otherwise, I always thought, like, here's a sector of space, draw a line, there you're sector 29, here's sector 30. So personally, I don't care.
I like the idea of it being like a, what's that circular graph called, Mew? You're in like super ultra physics. What's that called? Like a circular graph with like a point in the middle. What
a pi graph?
No, it's like a polygraph.
A polygraph?
You mean as in like polar coordinates?
I don't know. Hold on, Google it.
Because otherwise you kind of sound weird.
What do I think about the wedges? Well, I think it's an old concept. I mean, Jeff didn't just pull this out of his ass. This has been around for, I think, since the 80s. This was first introduced, that all sectors kind of touch Sector Zero with Oa. My only problem with it is that, you know, like galaxies and star systems, these aren't stationary things. I mean, these are constantly moving, rotating planets orbit a sun or a star, and that star is basically orbiting the center of the galaxy, and those galaxies are kind of orbiting the center of the universe, and everything's moving. And then there's also the redshift of galaxies that are expanding outward as the universe grows. So nothing is really standing still. My point is, if you have things lined up in wedges where it's like, this is Sector 1 over here, this is Sector 2 over here, they would have to keep on redefining those lines, because the space is continuously growing. It's continuously expanding, and these planetary objects are continuously moving. So it doesn't totally hold up to scrutiny, but I like the idea. I like the concept.
Okay. All right, well, let's see. Next question. I'm sorry. Yes. How do you think Blackest Night will end? Lots of gore, lots of crazy, and we're going to have... I bet you we'll still have 7 core. That's all I'm going to say on it, and I think Jon Stewart will become one of the new Guardians.
Mosaic.
Exactly. Anybody else? What do you guys think? How do you think BN will end?
It's going to be Hal and Sinestro side by side against Necron. One giant plasma beam from one end and one big plasma beam from the other. Like a super Kamehameha.
Oh, I love it.
And
it sounds dirty to me.
Awesome.
Super Kamehameha, Sinestro, Hal Jordan, Kai, hey!
And
got it.
It's gonna be Hal Necron Jordan and Sinestro against Necron, holding hands.
Why Indigo goes? Why Indigo sings Kumbaya?
I think it's gonna all end in a giant retcon that Blackest Night never happened.
That would be great.
It's going to implode on itself.
Yeah, and we'll have the new universe.
If it all ends in a giant retcon that this is the entire show never happened.
No, it'd be a giant JeffCon.
What do I think will happen at the end of Blackest Night? I do think we're going to see all the entities come out. I think they're all going to get hosts. And all of them are kind of going to have to join forces against the common enemy. And whether that means they all join together to create the white light, even though it seems like people like Dove already have the white light. Anyway, it seems like some kind of scenario is going to happen like that. Hal with Parallax, Sodomyat with Ion, and so forth. And they'll just kind of band together, take out the central power battery in the cemetery in Coast City. And somewhere, somehow, I think Sinestro is going to become a Green Lantern again, but I only think it's going to be for about 5 minutes before he becomes kind of the sacrificial lamb of the story. Could be wrong, not too sure. I do think there will be some kind of permanent death occurring, possibly in the pages of Green Lantern Corps, just because, I don't know, that cover with guy as a Red Lantern. I mean, it legitimately looks like something would have pissed him off that much to make him become a Red Lantern, and that it would have to be a death, I think. And it's a precious few who that could be. And none of those candidates either would make any sense or would be very good. Be it Kyle or Ice or Kilowog. I mean, those are the options there. And that's about where I see things going. Another thing I do see is some kind of a magic wand being waved at the end of all this. I think a lot of the people, I want to say that everyone that's been killed by a Black Lantern is probably going to get a come back to life properly card at the end of this, maybe involving the Spectre. I don't know, but some kind of cosmic righting of all the wrong that has happened here will probably happen. I think that's coming. But my biggest fear is just that there won't be much of an ending, that it'll just be kind of a... I mean, yeah, Necron is going to be defeated, the Central Power Battery is going to be destroyed, and there will be some kind of victory, but I'm just worried that too much of the ending will be too mired in setting up the next big story, or making sure to drop the seeds for the next big story in the year to come, or the next couple of years, or whatever it may be. That's my biggest fear. I mean, I want a big finish that feels like a finish, that feels like a good bookend, not just to this story, but Rebirth and Sinestro Corps War, to truly make this feel like a legitimate trilogy, to feel like this has been the plan all along. That's what I want.
Of course. Okay.
The whole fight ends with Necron finally being destroyed, and then it leads up to the next event, where they have to fight against Lucifer from Vertigo.
Well, actually, that takes us to...
Satanic Knights.
Yeah, believe it or not, that takes us to our next two questions. Actually, I'll read this one, then Mew can read the next one. Do you think DC can tap Blackest Night? Well, the point is, when they always do these events, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're Marvel, DC, Image, Top Cow, or who not. I mean, the one thing is, a writer's going to come along with an idea, and he's going to look at whatever the big event was, you know, what really did. I mean, that's kind of like you think about Sinestro Corps. I mean, Geoff Johns already had everything planned, but, you know, you look at Grant Morrison, you know, he looked at Infinite Crisis and everything else, and he went with a big final story and everything, and there's, you know, supposedly big storyline for 2010 for Batman and Superman, so... It's going to happen, whether those events in 2010, whether it's Justice League, Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman, or whatever the hell they're going to do next year. Someone's going to top it eventually. Somebody will be saying, oh, this is the best storyline in 10 years, blah, blah, blah. It'll happen. It will happen. It's just how it'll be. You guys have anything else to say on that?
Pretty much. Every story can be topped. People don't like Blackest Light. People like Blackest Night. It's a matter of opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
No cutting remark that'll be topped by Grant Morrison, West?
What?
No cutting remark that'll be topped by Grant Morrison?
I mean, we already know Multiversity is going to be the greatest story ever told, so why say it?
Yeah, see? There we go. We have our opinion.
I think Blackest Night has already been topped by Cry for Justice.
Oh. Don't be mean to 12 years.
You want to read us the next question there about old Vertigo?
Okay, do you read Vertigo stuff?
No.
I read a little bit of Fables, that's about it, and then I stopped.
Do you guys read Vertigo?
No.
I read Vertigo when, I forget what year it was, I think it was like 99, going into the new millennium when DC did their whole, for one issue, all their books became Vertigo.
Oh, I remember that.
I did read some Wildstorm, but that's about it.
Well,
it's different.
Yeah, completely different.
I went out of my way to try to collect all the Vertigo issues that came out during that 1 month, and I couldn't do it.
What happened during that month? Was it a bunch of cursing and blood and sex?
No, it wasn't.
Vertigo's supposed to be their more adult line.
It was, but that only happened after that.
I
picked up the Green Lantern issue, and I was like, what the hell's going on here?
I think that was everybody's opinion, right?
Superman pulls out a cigar and just, like, heat visions it on and stabs it through someone's eye.
Right, exactly.
No sense
Superman, motherfucker!
When they try to reintroduce those Vertigo characters during that Justice League storyline, I still didn't understand what was going on.
I heard the song Vertigo by U2.
That'll work.
Right?
I don't know. Anyhow, how about you, Westo? Why don't you read us the next question there?
So there's a theory that the Indigo Tribe's homeworld is the Mother Mercy planet. What do you guys think of that?
It's completely bull because, as it's been shown several times, both in the preview art and the little mini, little mini story, the Indigo Tribe comes from some planet where up is down and down is up, like a Dr. Seuss book. So and Mother Mercy's planet is kind of decimated with flowers and everything else, and dead bodies and purple skies, and the Indigo Tribe's is blue skies and weird growing hedges all over the place. So no.
So they're from Bizarro World?
No, they're from a Dr. Seuss world.
And even if you did want to think that,
DC's Bizarro World.
You'd think at one point you'd at least see like one attached to one of those plants.
Right.
I just want to say that West really helped that question out by rephrasing it. The original question was, the theory is that the Indigo Tribe's homeworld is the Mother Mercy planet.
Well, actually,
and that was it.
He had a little bit more, but that was worse. So,
yeah, we confined it.
I really doubt that the Mother Mercy planet is the homeworld of the Indigos. It wouldn't make any sense. And yeah, it looks like the Indigo world is supposed to be like a vaguely like a Dr. Seuss esque world. I don't think it doesn't look like they're defying gravity or anything in the splash page from Green Lantern 25. But it does look like it's pretty different from what we saw on the Mercy planet. And of course there is the whole thing about if the Mercy planet is the Indigo world, then why weren't there any Indigos there, and why weren't they like trying to stop Mongul and Mongul Senior previously? So no, that wouldn't add up. We do know something new about the Indigos, and maybe we should have figured this out a lot sooner. It really does look like Indigo 1 is Abin Sur's wife. It really does look that way. Like, if you open up Green Lantern number 17 from the current Volume 4, page 6, there's a couple of panels that show Abin Sur's wife, who we don't know the name of. She looks exactly like Indigo 1. Same hair, same skin tone, same kind of bandages around the wrists and the forearms, same color costume, same belly shirt, even looks like a loincloth there. It's her. It's definitely her. So there is that. And I don't think her homeworld is the Mother Mercy planet. I'm just a shot in the dark. So, yeah.
Anyhow, Kua, why don't you go over to the next question there, since we already did Vertigo.
Okay. What are your thoughts, if any, on the just-announced miniseries The Deadpool Corps, which is said to be a satirization of Green Lantern?
Bring it! I love Deadpool. I really do. I've always enjoyed the Merc with the Mouth. So, whatever they want to do with the Deadpool corpse, I'll pick it up at Borders and see what it's all about. If it's great entertainment, I might get it in the trade because, I'm on budget these days. I want to get out of this damn couples paddle and have a house, so hey.
I just want to say, didn't Marvel already rip off the Green Lantern Corps? I mean, what is
it? After Nova Corps?
Yeah, the Nova Corps.
The question I have to ask is, why? Why?
They want to use their most popular character right now that has the most street cred to give them more money.
Exactly.
And Ryan Reynolds is playing both.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds is playing both characters in a film. So.
Correct.
You know what? They want to try to throw out their Nova Corps, but no one knows him enough. I'm sorry for the Nova fans out there, but
I'm one of them. But Ray is right.
How many times you're gonna say, "Yeah, you remember the Nova Corps?"
I'll accept this if Marvel puts out a press statement admitting they're money whores.
Of course, they're
no. Disney's gonna do that.
Yes, they had to put out a press statement saying that. That's not obvious.
Oh,
once they get rid of all their Jewish characters.
Oh! The thing is screwed.
Oh, that was topical and witty.
What a revolting development this may be. Anyhow. All right, well, let's do our last question we have listed here on the boards. Do you all think it's better to try and get back issues or just get the collected trade paperbacks when they come out? That's actually a kind of a two-edged sword because, I mean, some paperbacks, they just do not collect issues. I mean, this is just true of even current. I mean, trade paperbacks have been, like, majorly up front in the last couple years from both Marvel and DC and Vertigo and all that. But there's just some back issues you just got to get for not only collectors, but because that's probably the only way you're ever going to get them. I mean, really, they're just issues out there that are not collected in any trade, no omnibus or anything, and you just gotta go out with your own money, cross your fingers it's not going to be too expensive, and get it not only because you're a fanboy and a collector, but just so you can have the issue. So that's my opinion. What about you, Kamal?
Or sometimes the trade's just massively out of print.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That being said, generally, you're going to find the trade for cheaper, so...
Also true.
No, not true. In many cases, you'll find that actually just breaking down and collecting the individual issues is actually cheaper than buying a trade paperback that collects the issues, in many cases. I do have some trade paperbacks just for the stories that I read a lot, but by and large, I really don't collect them. I collect all the individual issues all the way back to going back now to the 40s issues of Green Lantern, which just aren't collected anywhere. I mean, even if I wanted to buy trade paperbacks of Green Lantern Volume 1 from the 40s, it doesn't exist. They have two volumes out that came out in the 90s that collect, I think, up to, like, number 4, number 5, or number 6, and that's it. And there's another 30-some issues. But yes, by principle, I try to just collect the individual comic books, and I take very good care of them.
What the hell is a two-edged sword?
I want a Great Darkness on trade.
What do you mean, what the hell is a two-edged sword? It's a
he
sword
said
that's...
double-edged sword. Not a two-edged sword.
Well, double-edged, two-edged, it makes sense.
No chance, it's double-edged.
Two-edged is still on one side.
Exactly. What's his right?
Guys, I was really drunk last night and was at GameWorks, so you do the math.
So was I.
You were at GameWorks?
I learned it from watching you.
Dude, Ray was at your bachelor party. You just didn't know it.
Oh, he was that weird guy. I was going, yeah, I see you beat Notre Dame, yeah!
I was paying attention to the game.
Yeah, my future brother-in-law is going to come find you.
To the creepy tall bald guy with that name tag that said Connor.
That was good.
One of these days, Kuan, I'm going to get that picture of me and Connor just so I can shut you up.
Oh, crap. This is going to really screw us. Anyhow. Well, that is it for the message board questions. And anybody got any other questions that were sent to him or anything? Or has any questions here for all of us?
We happen to have a voicemail.
Oh, let's hear it. Love voicemail.
You guys need to fire Musard.
Boy, that...
What was that?
Who do you think it was?
Was that Naysay?
No.
Is he my clone?
Yeah, I know. Doesn't he sound so much like Ray Folk? No, here. Come on, play it one more time.
All right.
You guys need to fire Musard.
Holy crap!
The man is a walking devil. He should be killed.
Evidently, like half the people in the
drawn
world.
Drawn and quartered and raped.
He's the fringe double agent.
Oh, it's,
you have your own fringe clone there, Ray.
I'm sorry, Rainer, that you sound like a douchebag.
Oh, man.
Wait. No, you should be sorry that he sounds like a perfectly good guy. Douchebag.
A perfectly good guy sounds like a douchebag. Oh, okay.
Was that all he said?
That was all he said.
Oh, my God.
That's all we got?
That's all we got. Well, I say I'm going to just say out some other things I've enjoyed with the podcast here. I mean, this has been fun for the last, believe it or not, it's frightening to sound. We've been doing this for 10 months. It really is. We've had some incredible times, and we've almost killed each other many, many times. And West has been knocked off so many times. We've had to restart and edit and edit and edit and edit and edit and edit and eat bad pizza and, you know, edit and edit.
We teased West, but he's cool.
He is. West is the best, really. This podcast would not work without West.
I know.
We always need a very positive, a very negative person, and people in between.
I love how he's so humble.
I know. I'm awesome. I'm the best person in the world.
Oh, West.
Oh, West.
That little devil on your shoulder that tells you to burn things.
I thought that was the leprechaun.
Leprechaun 2, but...
Never mention Leprechaun 2 in my presence. I say the only thing I would have ever done anything different doing the podcast is I would just try to keep us off on a one daily kind of weekly schedule that would have worked better had our edit
daily
people.
Podcast.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm sorry. We
Green Lantern Spotlight.
Yeah,
I would love a daily podcast.
We all have everything so much to say about Green Lantern every single day. We can definitely probably find about plushies. We can sit and we can talk about
once a week. We could review every issue of Green Lantern from the beginning to now.
You know,
we should do that.
If you will edit a daily podcast, we can do a daily podcast.
If someone could do an edit, that's what I mean.
Editing anything.
Yeah, if somebody was able to edit, I mean, really, we had one guy where he basically recorded. I emailed him that, and he just went from there, and he just put some notes. Hey, wow, we would be flying around here.
We would have a daily podcast if we had somebody to edit a daily podcast.
But unfortunately, most of us have lives, or we have school, or we have some things, or we have, mothers that are like, would you get off that thing and come talk to me?
Neil has no life, so he can record.
Exactly.
I have a life. It's a life.
Yeah, you're on Skype all day.
Well, what about you?
My computer on.
What about you, Kuan? What have been your what about your favorite moments and what you would have done different since you've been on here?
What I would have done different is not hired new.
Naysay, that's for you.
No. Seriously though, what I would have done different is what would I have
tone down the racism.
Stop no.
the corny joke.
No.
That's not it.
That would have never happened.
I would have
actually read your book before the cast.
Oh, no, dude. That's the best stuff when I'm sitting there on the cast reading the book. Like, all right, and now the guy's like fighting. Oh, there's Sinestro.
edited that episode in more than about a few months before giving it away.
You know what I wish I did? I wish I hadn't missed that, like, 3-4 weeks at a time gaps.
Oh, just, yeah.
Like, 4 episodes at a time.
Yeah, you were gone for a while.
I was gone for a while, and then I came back, and then I was gone for a while again, then I came back, and now it's now.
What about you, Ray?
I don't know. The one thing I probably would have done different is showed up for the first cast that I said I was going to show up for, but I couldn't. So the very first episode I missed out, and I showed up in the second episode.
Yep.
I probably wouldn't have missed the Ethan Von Skyver episode if I could have helped it.
That sucked. You should have been there.
Yeah. What was the last one that I missed also?
The Bedard one?
Yes!
Yeah, I missed that too.
Besides me, you were the only other person in the cast who actually read the books he wrote.
Yeah, it's on the Bedard cast. If I didn't miss that, I would have been happy right now.
It would have been less awkward for me, like, having half the podcast just me talking.
It really was. I was just listening to it like, it's Muzard.
Another 25% of that cast was other people reading my questions.
Nobody had it, their own questions. They're like, we're just picking his questions. Whatever, he's got
them. Yeah.
That hurt.
And speaking of which, Mew, what about you?
Oh, I'm actually pretty happy with everything. I mean, we could have maybe shot the shit a little bit less in certain situations. Dr. Naysay can burn in hell, stuff like that. But otherwise, I'm pretty happy with it.
All right.
I wish I'd done differently. I wish I hadn't gone back to sleep that one day in Canada and missed that stupid Little Karibo interview.
Oh, yeah.
You got to interview him again on your cast.
Yeah, I know, but I still wish I hadn't missed that first one.
You know, and I got to say that about Little Karibo. That was a fun podcast. I mean, for a guy who didn't know too much about the Abridged series and everything, it was just fun time. That was a great little time between you and I. It was short and sweet, and it was fun, and we got mentioned on it.
I would like that one, too.
I was going to ask him to come on before we saw he was away.
Dude, I was away at the same time. His status on
Skype
is...
Yeah, but he does shit. You don't.
Right.
His status on Skype is editing video.
Wes, what about you?
If I could go back, I'd probably fire all of you.
I write your paychecks!
alienating everyone who's with you.
No, I would learn how to edit. So I could fire all of you without the grief.
That just means you can fire Kuhan.
Best case scenario. He has to at least fire all of us.
Best case.
We all know that Wes would do a podcast where he just talks to himself and then releases it on the internet.
It would be great if I could do that.
He would have his little Indigo tribe staff with him.
Just invite me to a call, I'll hit record, and then leave.
Point, click, and leave. I love it. Oh, wow. It's like doing a
thing I would change. I would probably go back and actually get a good mic so I could lash out at you fuckers. Gang bang you gave me on the Final Crisis episode.
Oh!
To be fair, I didn't join until about two casts after.
Yeah, so Muse is safe.
To be fair, Final Crisis didn't make any damn sense.
And one more plug before I walk out the door, folks.
And Wes, don't forget, first thing, a decent internet connection.
Yeah. No stealing Wi-Fi. I get better connection. I steal my parents and my neighbors.
Steal Wi-Fi, steal good Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there you go, Mew. Good Wi-Fi. Shit. Oh, well, guys, you have any last words of me here before I head into the Green Lantern sunset here for a while?
You know, the reason that I hate listening to this podcast is because I'm listening to you guys talking, because I don't listen to stuff with myself. I don't hate the sound of my own voice. But I listen to the stuff with you guys talking, and I'm like, I want to talk, but I can't because I missed this damn podcast. I hate listening to you guys talk on podcasts because I'm like, screw it.
Yeah, well.
we're gonna miss you, Ryan, for the period you're not really kind of gone. You're just going to be off the cast and waving at a distance every 2-3 days.
We would say sabbatical, but evidently, who doesn't know what that means?
I don't think anyone in the cast is that stupid.
No,
that's stupid.
I've known what sabbatical meant since I was 4 years old.
Listeners.
Somebody said, so naysay.
Ayo. Oh.
Anyway.
Yes, Wes.
I insulted him and I didn't even know it. That's great.
Ryan, good luck with your wedding. Good luck with your new home. All that. Come back soon. And
yes, before we kill each other.
And frequent the boards as much as possible.
Oh, I will frequent as much as possible. And yes, folks, you will see me on the blog spot. I'm going to pipe up my review of GLC this week while I'm throwing the rest of the place together here, including bathtubs. But yeah, don't worry. I'll be keeping the blog going as much as possible. And you can also check out my other two blogs, which is the Indigo Cafe, which everything on Spider-Girl and anything related to that. You can find that at Spider-Girl's World at blogspot.com. Once in a while, you might hear me on Will Sanchez's Avengers Assemble podcast, but he's
on. You can chill out on someone else's podcast, but you can't chill out on.
No, well, no, I probably won't be on him. If you hear me on there, I probably wouldn't be until March.
If you hear him on there, it's not him at all. It can't possibly be him.
No, it might be.
He's too busy for us.
Yes, exactly.
it's obviously Dr. Naysay impersonating him.
Or you might hear me in a call-in show on the Spider-Man crawl space, because, you know, that's like 5 minutes of my time, and it's like, hey, Ryan, what's up? I'm like, hey, what's up? And boom.
Just get a Bluetooth in your car, and we can do like podcast intervals like every like 5 or so minutes in your car every time you drive somewhere.
Well, that didn't work for Kevin Cushing. How's that going to work for me? Oh! Kevin, he's going to hunt me down one of these days, I swear.
Aside from that, Ryan, good luck with your future endeavors that you're going to be doing, your small sabbatical that you're going to be taking, and the best of luck to you.
And thank you.
Enjoy your life, enjoy your wedding, and especially enjoy your honeymoon.
Oh, yeah, the mini honeymoon followed by the Hawaiian honeymoon in February.
Nice.
See that? He gets two honeymoons. Because why? Because GL Spotlight is the place to be.
Yes! That's right, folks.
It's just because of that and nothing else.
Well, I would like to thank the wonderful Kuhan, the incredible Rainer2814, the always smart would pussy in his lap, Muizard, and of course the man who has the semi-good pizza, and of course the man, the legend, the one, the only, Andrew NDB. Andrew, we miss you right now here. I'd like to throw out us.
Why did you run in front of that truck?
And I'd like to throw out a special thank you to Bob Spelled Backwards. A couple times he's been out, it's been great. Ron Mars, Daryl Banks, Philip Tan, Bo Smith. I mean, we've just had an incredible time here. I mean,
Ethan.
Ethan, I was just about to say Ethan. I mean, I just cannot believe the people that have come on here.
Bernard.
Yep, and and chat with us and didn't, you know, write threatening letters or have Dan Dio show up outside my front door with a lawsuit in his hand saying, now we're...
John's if he ever comes on the cast.
I mean, admittedly, admittedly, we did get a few threatening letters from Grant Morrison, but it was all a misunderstanding. We cleared it up.
Yeah.
It was a restraining order on West.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy the moment we told him we were going to get rid of West.
Yeah, I mean, Grant just says he's going to take us out for pizza, and he's going to show us his latest issue of the Green Lantern, Honor Corps, and we're all set.
It's those, you know, the Scotsmen, and they really don't get along with the... I'm not going there.
All right. Well, everybody, I'm turning over the podcast now to these guys. Of course, Rainer taking over, and Andrew, you're part of the Green Lantern. So, guys, thank you all for these wonderful last 10 months here, and I will see you in 2010. And that's it.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps are properties of DC Comics and do not reflect on the authenticity of this podcast.
And Diane are like, Ryan, go do the podcast. Start. We got this handle. Say goodbye to you when we're ready to leave. I'm like, okay.
Leave them behind forever.
That better be the last podcast.
That sounds about right, actually.
Friends.
Yeah, hold on, guys. I'm going to run to the bathroom here. 5-minute break.
Oh, didn't we already do this? Come on. Come on.
Do this?
So unprofessional.
I could have swore he told us to do this.
He did.
Do what?
Practice what you preach.
Hey, shit break.
You got the opposite end of the spectrum, West, who's got the brown lips.
Whoa.
No, that could be considered racist, but he means
what
brown
the fuck
lips,
was like, that supposed to mean?
From kissing
him.
Your tongue's,
ass.
Tongue's,
oh, oh,
your tongue's about a foot deep in his ass.
West, I thought you were
lips.
Going somewhere else with that. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not Kuhan. I'm not a horrid racist like Kuhan.
Who remodels an apartment? That's got to be illegal.
What?
To remodel an apartment?
Ryan.
Well, that depends if the owner supports it.
That's illegal. You get in trouble for that shit unless you get their say-so.
Yeah, for all you may have gotten their say-so.
I'll just tear down this wall and put up... No.
Fuck this thing. I'll get a new one.
Get a new one.
This wall is all wrong with the aesthetic of this building.
This is not Fong Chi at all.
Wait a minute. Why is there only two rooms in this one tiny bedroom? It's like I turned it into just one giant closet.
You know what? I want an attic. Let's go.
I want an attic right now.
I'm on the second floor, but I want an attic.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
You build a door into your neighbor's bathroom. It's like, I'm using it now, bitch.
You can just imagine Ryan's wife-to-be like, oh, yes, honey, just go ahead and just take down that wall. Go ahead and set up the deck over there. Like, oh, but honey, I think there's laws. And we can, no, it's okay. Just go ahead. It's all right. Yes, honey.
Okay.
Yes, honey.
I want an eight right now.
Didn't he already pull out some of the wall and floor?
I don't know.
Water damage or something like that? Joke what you will about masturbation, but I will not have you insult my comic, Karen.
Oh my god.
Geek Rant.
Oh.
Wow.
And now we turn to West for the colored commentary.
It's fucking racist.
Hold on. Okay, Mew, I will make a deal with you. I will totally have a racist comment in custom music title.
I don't make a deal with Satan, which is what you are. And I put my praying cat up to the mic while you talk.
My computer doesn't have free.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
Does yours have... No, I don't think
so. When you sold.
It's run to death.
Jesus.
Just killed it.
Yo, Mew, I'm happy for you.
I'm happy for you, but that's the dumbest fucking joke in existence. The end.
You know what?
And the plot twist is, you're adopted.
Why do you have to twist? Go there? Why do you have to go there, Mew?
You know what? You just alienated all of our adopted listeners.
And that's all we had left at this point.
We already lost the Mexicans.
We still have the deaf listeners.
The Christians.
We still have the deaf listeners.
We lost the Christians a while back.
All we have left is Naysay, and he does it out of spite.
And hey,
we lost the Pippi. Yeah, Naysay doesn't even like us. All we have left is Naysay, and he hates us.
Anyhow, how about you, Wes? Why don't you read us the next question there?
Okay. The theory.
It wouldn't be a podcast out west in the wind tunnel.
The theory. We didn't even the theory, but we got the.
Okay, West, why don't you try again? We're keeping that.
We got the.
I'm midway through a sentence, and everyone bursts out laughing. That's great.
You cut out completely after the.
We heard the fear, and then we couldn't hear you after that.
Yeah, it was wind tunnel. Oh man.
So Ray, how did you get out of Connecticut?
I drank a lot. So I echo.
Holy dog shit!
Frightening, but true.
Before we continue, I love that we're doing this special, like, you know, awesome podcast, special recording, and then we have like 6 technical failures in like the first 5 minutes.
Ryan has got to go out on a failure.
That's the only way it's going to work. Come on, my bachelor pad's turning into a couple's pad right now, so hey.